your hand this way and pray. The Lord anoint him afresh tonight. Glory to God.
There's a cold water over in the corner if you need it.
Lord, do have your way among us tonight.
All right. Get your Bible and stand with me if you will. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. You can be turning to the book of Luke, chapter 19. And I tell you, I just want to say I've appreciated these morning services, the teaching of the Word of God. Brother Joey Yates has done just a wonderful, wonderful job. And I want to encourage those of you that have not been able to be here, that is definitely some CDs you need to invest in. Just the power of God has been here every morning, and we've just took time to worship and magnify the Lord in the midst of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the Word of God that we hear in these morning services. And I tell you something else I appreciate. It's a little hard on you. It's amazing when something is so good that it's hard on you. But this food these ladies have been cooking, it is so good till it's just hard on you. And you'll leave this camp meeting, if you eat in that kitchen, you'll leave here weighing a little more than you did when you got here. And don't you appreciate these sisters and brothers that's been laboring in the kitchen? And I really appreciate it. And may the Lord bless them. And appreciate Brother Glenn Odom and the burden that he's carrying for this camp meeting and for the churches that are a part of this fellowship, this conference. And I pray that the Lord's blessings will be upon Brother Glenn. And I appreciate Brother Jerry and Sister Hazel leading these songs at night. And just everyone that's here. And may the Lord bless you for being here. Luke 19 and verse 28. And I tell you, folks, I really trust that God will just have his way in our lives tonight. And I can tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He's not going to make you do anything that you don't consent to do. He's not going to do it. He's never made me do anything I didn't consent to do. No, he made me wish I had of. He's made me wish I had of. He's made me apologize. He's made me repent. You know, he just made me so miserable I didn't have a choice, is what I'm saying. And there's been times he's made me wish I had of. If I'd have had it to do over again, I'd have just obeyed the Lord. But I tell you, folks, Brother Odom made mention of the fact that he believed that the Holy Ghost was going to move around here, and he has been. He has been. And then last night, he just came in and he longed to have his way among us. And I promise you, it is impossible. It is impossible for man to manufacture a program that can accomplish what only the Holy Ghost can accomplish. Now, if you think, and I don't want this to sound, this is not arrogance. This is just the fact. If you and I think that we know better than the Holy Ghost, it's no wonder there's a lack of revival. When you can predict everything that's going to happen in a service, you have lost the Pentecostal element. I don't want to be predictable. I'd like to be Pentecostal. There's probably a message in that. I may need to work on it. I don't want to just be predictable. I'd like to be Pentecostal. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 28. This is the triumphant entry of Christ. Verse 28, when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he had come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, and in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? They said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Now notice these next several verses. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now we've got them casting garments upon the beast, but now as he goes, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, notice this, the whole multitude of the disciples begin to rejoice. Let me stop there. Is there anybody here that, no, I want you to raise your hand. This is not a trick question. Is there anybody here that's a disciple of Christ? Now, I didn't get 100%, so I don't know if you're nervous about being a disciple. But probably if you're not a disciple, then you're not even saved. And that's not a harsh statement. That's just a fact. We are all disciples. We're learners. We're learners. I don't think I'm going to quit until I get a little better response. Do we have any disciples of Christ? We're followers of Christ. That's what we are. We're followers of Christ. That's not a trick question. It's really not. It's not a charismatic term. It's a disciple. We're followers of Christ. So I want you to notice what his disciples did. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Anybody ever seen God do anything? Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So now we've got the whole multitude of the disciples gathered rejoicing. Now they're not the only ones there. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, such hypocrites. The next word exposes their hypocrisy. Master, they're liars. They don't feel that way. They're Pharisees. They don't feel that way. I think they're just mad that they're not getting the praise. So they're trying to lure him in somehow. Master, rebuke thy disciples. Silence them. Calm them down. They're just too loud. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Well, I want to tell you, folks, it weren't the disciples that got rebuked that day. It wasn't those that were praising God and rejoicing in the Lord that got rebuked. It was those that were trying to silence the multitude that was doing what they should have been doing all along. You can be seated if you would like, but I'll tell you what, folks. We've just got way too quiet in our Pentecostal holiness churches. We really have. There's no reason for it. There's no excuse for it. But we have just got way too quiet. And I tell you what I see in this passage of Scripture. I see the church as it should be whenever Christ is in her midst. And I see a church that refuses to be silenced. And I see a Christ that refuses to silence his church. In spite of the fact that there are those that would say, quieten them down, rebuke them, stop them from doing that. You see, it's his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's going to his to the throne. The disciples hoped he was, but we know that he wasn't. He's going to a cross. But these disciples had hoped he was about to set up an earthly throne and begin an earthly kingdom. But it wasn't that at all. It was not the long-expected kingdom that they had hoped for. But that's one reason that they were worshiping him. They thought for sure, in fulfillment of a prophecy, he's riding in to set up a kingdom. But we know it was something far greater than that. It's no wonder they shouted for joy. It's no wonder that they worshiped and magnified the Lord. Here their Lord was in their midst, riding amidst the glad acclamations of a multitude that had been partakers of his goodness and of his blessings. And so they begin to shout, and they begin to rejoice, and they begin to magnify their king as he was riding into that blessed city. And what an occasion it was. And when I look at this, I'm amazed, because I feel so often where they were so apt to worship God when they got in his presence. Sometimes we are so negligent to worship God when we are in his presence. I tell you, my brother and sister, I want to say again, the Pentecostal church has got way too quiet in this hour that you and I are living in. I'm not sure why we have. I'm not sure why we have relegated praise to the place that we have relegated it to in this hour. But brother and sister, there was a time that praise was a valid part of a Pentecostal service. There was a time where praise was a valid part of a holiness congregation. We would just magnify the Lord and worship the Lord. But now it seems to me that the church has become so quiet, and we have become silenced. And I'm not sure why we have. I mean, certainly in this group of people, there were those that had been blind, but they're not blind any longer. Certainly in this crowd, there were those that had been deaf and perhaps mute, but they're no longer deaf and they're no longer mute any longer. I'm certain in this crowd, there were those that had been crippled, but they're not crippled any longer. I'm certain in this crowd, there are those that had been covered with leprosy, but they are lepers no longer. And the Bible said, as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. They had saw him as a king. They saw him riding in as a conqueror, about to set up a throne. That's what they thought he was going to do. But I want to tell you, they had already recognized what he had done in their life. For in their life, he had conquered that deaf mute spirit. In their life, he had conquered their blindness. In their life, he had conquered their crippledness. In their life, he had already conquered their leprosy. In their life, he had already conquered every disease that had ravaged their body. And they recognized him as king. I tell you what, we ought to recognize the fact that he's already conquered sin in our life. Brother and sister, he has made a transformation in our life that only he could do. I tell you what he's worthy of tonight. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our adoration. Brother and sister, we have already felt his His presence in our midst, and it ought to cause us to want to worship Him. It ought to cause us to want to magnify Him when He becomes to, when He comes to move in our midst, and when He comes to stir in our midst, and when He comes to work in our midst. It ought to cause us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible plainly said that as He went, they spread their clothes in the way. As He went, here He is moving. And immediately, as He begins to move in their presence, they begin to respond with an attitude and a spirit of worship and adoration. I tell you, there was a time you didn't need a man to stand in front of you and say, "Now let's worship. Now let's give Him praise." Rather, there was no cheerleader required. It was just within our heart. We were grateful for what He had done in our life. I don't know if we've got to the place where we feel like we deserved it all alone, and somehow we were worthy of what He's done in our life, but somewhere along the line, we cast worship aside, and we cast praise aside, and we feel like for some reason just showing up is good enough. I want to tell you, showing up ain't good enough. We owe Him our praise, and we owe Him honor, and we owe Him glory. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And when He steps into the midst of the congregation, whatever else we might do, we certainly ought to praise Him, and we certainly ought to worship Him because of who He is and what He has done in our lives. The kingdom is now His. He is certainly on the throne tonight, but thank God He is in our midst, and He's worthy of all praise and glory. He really is. We ought to be the most joyful, happiest people that's ever lived. Just to be redeemed, just to know that we are forgiven. You say, "Well, I'm not sure He's here." Oh, you're not. Well, isn't it Matthew 18 and 20 that said, "Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst"? Brother Jerry, are you here in His name?
Sir, in His
name. Oh, Sister Hazel, are you here in His name?
I'm in His name.
Well, I'm here. That's two or three right there. We've got the assurance. I want to tell you something. That's not some promise that we just drag out when the empty pews are conspicuous. Well, at least if there's two or three, that's not what that's all about. That's an assurance that if any time you get two or three, whether it's in a mall, whether it's at Walmart, whether it's at a campground, whether it's out in a brush harbor, whether it's under a tent, whether wherever it is, if you can get two or three together in His name, it's a glorious promise that says, "I am in the midst." And brother and sister, you can rest assured that He is here in our midst, and He's worthy of our praise. I'd like to get back to being the church that could not be silenced. That's what I want to preach on. A church that cannot be silenced. All too long we've been quiet. All too long we've been silenced. We've let this neo-Pentecostal movement, we've let this hyper-faith movement, we've let this charismatic movement, we've used that as an excuse so long until it ain't even worthy to drag out anymore, and use this as an excuse. I'm so scared. I'm going to be linked up with that group. I ain't. I said I ain't. I tell you, I'd be more afraid of most of our churches being linked up with a Catholic than I would a charismatic. Ain't enough praise to even be accused of being charismatic anymore. We get a little bit of this
every now and then, but we don't get much worship and praise. And I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, it's time that the church quit hobbling around on a crutch and say, well, I'm afraid they're going to think we're charismatic, or I'm afraid it ain't going to be real, or what if I'm in the flesh? You're going to be in the flesh until you get a glorified body. That ain't a valid excuse either. I tell you what we need to do. Instead of making excuses why we can't, we ought to start thinking of all the reasons why we should worship Him and magnify Him. The King has come in our midst, and I refuse to be silent any longer.
I want to tell you something. I'm 40 years old. I was 5 years old when I got saved. I was 8 years old when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This ain't some kind of cliche or one-liner. I didn't know what a charismatic was. I didn't even know that was a word when I was 8 years old. But I knew how to worship. I knew how to rejoice when the Holy Ghost fell on me that night at 8 years old, 5 rows back, standing beside my dad in that little church in Moss Point, Mississippi. I wasn't afraid of being called a charismatic. Brother and sister, I was worshiping the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell on me. And I want you to know, I know people fall out and there's nothing behind it. I know people do all kind of silly dancing and there's nothing behind it. I'm here to tell you, there's something behind Pentecostal holiness worship. There's something that's genuine, and I think the devil has quietened us down way too long. I think he's quietened us down way too long. There was a time Brother Jerry wouldn't have had to ask you to stand and help this choir sing, but you got quiet and you got silent, and we act like it's a concert rather than a church service. I'm here to tell you, it's time that Emmanuel Holiness arise and say, we've been silent too long. I know what you're thinking. You don't know nothing about us. You're right. But I do know this. You're too quiet to be Pentecostal holiness people. It's time we get to shout back. It's time we get our praise back. It's time we get our worship back. Look at this. When he was come nigh, here he is. He's going and he's coming nigh. And automatically the people see him on the move and they say, it's time to worship. Some of them take their robes or their mantles, whatever it is, and they cast them at his feet. Others are just worshiping and crying out in adoration. Brother and sister, they're doing it because of what he had done and what they had seen him do. And the amazing thing about it is this. They were quick to reverence him. I said they were quick. Immediately they begin to worship him and praise him. You know what our problem is? We want it to be so overwhelming before we even worship him. We want it to be such a mighty move of God. But as he went, as he's going, as he's moving, they immediately begin to worship him. They immediately begin to praise him. I want to tell you, brother and sister, my praise should never be controlled by how much or how little that I'm feeling. It should be controlled by the fact of who he is and what he has done in my life. I'll tell you what, I may not be feeling much, but if I praise him for who he is and what he's done, it won't be long. I'll start feeling better. You know what our problem is? We always want our praise to come as a result of his presence and him moving in our midst. I'll tell you what praise will do. If we'll praise him, he'll come as a result of our praise. He'll move as a result of our worship.
devil knows that. And so he has silenced the church. Rebuke your disciples. Just keep them quiet. They're going to stir up the program. They're going to mess up what we got going on. I want to tell you something. Sometimes what we got going on ain't even worth messing up hardly. But I'm telling you what, I'd say it's time that we get out of our cell. We get out of our bonds. We step out of the prison. We quit making excuses and saying he saved me. He sanctified me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I didn't deserve any of it. I think I'll worship him. We got to be so pumped and primed and pushed. It's embarrassing, folks. It really is. It really is. Sometimes I am ashamed of the lack of worship and praise that goes on in our Pentecostal holiness churches. Yeah, we sing a song and nobody even thinks to worship in between congregationals. I mean, they really don't. It's obvious they're not even thinking about what they're singing about. They're not even thinking about who they're singing about. For if they were, they would worship in between congregationals. It's obvious much of the time we're not even thinking about what the special singers are singing about. Because if we were, we would worship, we would praise, and we would magnify the Lord. But let's just see how quick we can get through. Let's just see how quick we can run through. It doesn't matter that he's riding in our midst. It doesn't matter that he stepped on the scene. Let's just hurry up. Let's just get through the program so we can get out to the fellowship hall. So we can rush to the end of camp meeting and so that we can go back to doing it like we've always done it, which hadn't been working. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to slow down and we need to give him praise and glory. There was a time we were known for that. We wasn't just known for our conservative, holy, separated, sanctified way of living. I'm telling you, we was known as a people that had a joyful sound, that knew how to worship God. I want to tell you something. Holiness is not some kind of hard, dried up, cantankerous, always out of sorts, bad spirit, griping and murmuring, complaining, long-faced, sober, dead-headed religion. If that's what you got, you ain't got the real thing. I'm telling you, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. Holiness brings joy. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what true holiness is.
I feel the Holy Ghost. I call you to worship me. You're mine. You belong to me. I chose you. You didn't choose me, saith the Lord. I call you to praise and honor and magnify, for I am a great God. I am the only God, and I love your praise, and I will inhabit them with my glory, saith the Lord.
What are we going to do now? Oh, God. What are we going to do now? Oh, God. Oh, God. What are we going to do now? You trying to work us up, preacher? If you really knew me, you'd know how foolish of a statement that is. Oh, you trying to work us up? No, you don't even know me.
Don't accuse me of doing that. You certainly don't know me. But I want to tell you something. He's already come down. He's wanting us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I tell you what, is there anything as wonderful as seeing a sister like Sister Dixon just run around this church like she did? That's wonderful. I want to tell you something, folks. I touched on this earlier, but that's what got my attention at 5 and 6 years old. It's those old dear saints of God. It's shouting and rejoicing in that little old church in Moss Point, Mississippi. Man, I can remember my aunts. They'd get to shouting in there, and I'd just watch them. I'd see my mom stagger around, and I'd just watch. I'd see old Sister Oliver. She was so forceful. Man, the Holy Ghost of my God, glory to God. And the Holy Ghost would fall on her, and I'd just watch them. At 5 years old, 6 years old, and I wanted that. I wanted that. Now I want to tell you something. No offense, but if they had to sit there like a totem pole, bump on a log, water on a frog, whatever you want to say, all dried up, sour, mad at the world, acting like God never done anything for them and may not even be saved, because who wants that? I said, who wants that? That's what the Pharisees did. I said, that's what the Pharisees did. They sit around and tried to spectate and criticize and try to find fault and tried to catch Him in His words and nitpicked everything that they possibly could. Oh, I don't want that. The world don't want that. I tell you what the world wants is a church that refuses to be silent. I said a church that refuses to be silent. What's that old familiar psalm say in Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that it is He, the Lord. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and His truth endureth unto all generations. I'm telling you, I'm a recipient of His mercy. I'm a recipient of His truth. I think I'll just worship Him. I think I'll just praise Him. I think I'll just give Him the glory that is due His name tonight. I'm not going to preach much longer, I don't think. But I tell you what happened here. It was spontaneous praise. Nobody had to direct them. Immediately, as he went, they're putting robes. They're putting those garments out there in front of him. That's what they'd do for a conqueror. Oh yeah, that's what Rome would do for a conqueror. They would put garments and even branches of trees and garlands out in front of that conquering king as he rode back into town. But here they are. They're spreading the clothes in the way. And then as he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Isn't that amazing? The whole multitude of the disciples. It did not say some, or it did not say most. You got two classes of people recognized in this text. You got the whole multitude of disciples that join in worship, and you got the Pharisees that's trying to shut it down. I want to tell you something, brother and sister. I love every one of you, but I have found that to be the case in a lot of our churches. You got two classes of people. Those that want to be a part of what God's doing, and the rest, they can just kind of take it or leave it,
And really that spirit ends up going into those who wind up fighting against it. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, I don't see how under God's great Son you could ever have a take it or leave it attitude. I just don't believe it. I don't believe in this camp meeting that you can actually be here and say, well, we can just take it or leave it. I tell you, if Christ is in our midst, and he is, there ought to be something that wells up within us. It says there's going to be a whole multitude. Every one of us ought to be able to offer some praise and adoration. I'm not saying you got to be running aisles. I'm not saying you got to be jumping pews and altars. But there ought to be something within us that wants to shout glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love you for saving me. There ought to be something within us that wants to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There ought to be something within us that wants to respond to Psalm 47. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. There just ought to be something within us that wants to give him praise and glory for what he's done. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, if the whole congregation would get involved in worshiping the Lord, there ain't no telling what he'd do for Emmanuel Holiness tonight in this service. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's worthy! Would you give him praise and glory? Oh, just calm them down. Just calm them down. Just stop them. Just rebuke them. We don't have no need of that. There's no need for all that. All that noise and that worship. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. If these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately. Now what does he mean by that? Just said. He meant exactly what he said. If they hold their peace, some rocks are going to start crying out. Now I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it ought to be more than a cliche. I don't want a rock to cry out my place. But I got to wondering, what if rocks did, what could they say? What could they say? What would they say? What if they begin to cry out? I got a feeling one of them would speak up and say, well, I remember a time when there was nothing but disorder. There was nothing but darkness and chaos. And all of a sudden, that voice that thunders throughout all of eternity begin to separate and begin to divide and say, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. I got a feeling that some rocks could testify about the time that the children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan River. And after they crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, there were 12 that were put in the midst, and there were 12 that were put on the outside. They could testify of the miracle that took place that day. If they were going to cry out, they could certainly testify. Well, those priests were carrying that ark. When they come to the Jordan River, the waters begin to back up. And they stood in the midst of that on dry ground. Oh, they could testify of the miraculous power of God. I got to thinking about Jericho. You reckon there's any rocks from Jericho's walls that could testify? Oh, yeah. Isaiah, that wall. What a fortress. What a city. And the people of God came. And for 6 days they marched around once a day without saying a word. But on the seventh day, how many times did they march around? It was 7 times. And then there was a trumpet blast. And they began to shout. We thought for sure we were secure. We thought we were safe. We thought the foundation would hold us. But we began to crumble. And we began to fall. all. That's what the rocks would say. They would begin to give glory and honor to he who sits on the throne. Oh, what about the five stones that David pulled out of the brook? I'd say they could testify. What do you think about a little shepherd boy that fought a giant that was defying the very armies of Israel? And all of a sudden, it was a boy with five smooth stones, and he pulled out one and said, "You come with sword and spears. I come in the name of the Lord." He could testify to the divine direction of a God to place a stone at the right place in the forehead of a giant. I don't have time to go through them all, but what about those rocks on Golgotha's hill as the blood begin to drip? Oh, what do you think those rocks could say as they begin to shake, as they begin to quake, as the veil of the temple begin to rend and twain from top to bottom? It was salvation. It was justification. It was being purchased. What about the stone they put over the tomb? Oh, and sealed. Oh, hallelujah. What do you think that stone would say tonight? He is not here. He is risen. But I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, I ain't going to let the stone cry out, because I can shout. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I say, let the redeemed, not the rocks, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, would you give him praise and glory? Oh, let's stand right now and give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Not rocks, the redeemed. The redeemed. I'm not going to allow the devil to underestimate the power of our praise. The Holy Ghost already confirmed what the Word of God assures us. He will inhabit the praise of Israel. He will inhabit our praise. He will dwell among that praise. I realize people go fanatical everywhere else, but I'm telling you, folks, we're not just anybody. We're the redeemed. We're the redeemed. I've been noticing these jets flying around here, and I tell you, one of them buzzed us today. I was walking out across that, and I'm telling you what, I was looking for him. I couldn't even see him, but he's close enough. He shook this place. And I'll be honest with you, I've been thinking all week, I like that sound. I thought it was thunder at first. I forgot that they flew out this direction, but I like that sound. I really do. There's something secure and safe about that sound and that noise. And it reminded me about an Air Force base. And I don't remember exactly where it was located. I cannot remember that. But they say that at that Air Force base, at the beginning of the runway, right there's a road that goes real close to the runway. And there's a big old sign that said, "Pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom." Pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. I want to tell you what, brother and sister, that's what this noise is. I say, that's what this sound is. It's a sound of freedom. Let the redeemed, of the Lord say so. Why? Because when nothing else could help, love lifted me. I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. It's a sound of freedom, sweet as a song. I'm singing today, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Brother, sister, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, it's a sound of freedom. I said it's a sound of freedom. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it's a sound of freedom. What is this that we hear in this sanctuary? Not the sound of bondage, not the sound of boredom, not the sound of defeat, not the sound of death. For Isaiah 38:17 says the dead cannot praise thee, and the grave cannot celebrate thee, but the redeemed can. Oh, I said the redeemed. Would you raise your hands and give him praise?
I'm done, really. I'm not finished, but I feel like I need to quit right here, because I really believe that the Holy Ghost will come in this place even greater than he already has, or just sweep through here in a more powerful wave if we'll just continue to worship him. I got...
It's time you put away your planned Pentecost. It's time you give yourself to my wonderful spirit, walking in grace and mercy and holiness.
Oh,
let your
God.
Voice sound with the sound of praise, saith the Lord.
Oh, God. That's the altar call right there. Right there. Right there. How in the world can we not respond to that? Oh, God. How could we not respond to that? Oh, God. Oh, God. I really don't want to just keep going. I'm not. I just think this is our opportunity. Folks, we need to be stepping out. We need to be moving out. We need to let this sanctuary ring with a voice of praise. We need to worship him. We need to magnify him. Oh, we really do. We really do. He's visiting us. He's in our midst. There's no telling what more he will do for us if we'll just give him honor, if we'll just lift him up. Hey, this ain't about preachers. This ain't about ministers. This is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You need to lift up your voice. You need to raise your voice. You need to give him honor. Oh, I'm telling you, we need to turn this place in to a Pentecost of praise. We're worshiping him. We're adoring him. We're thanking him. He's inhabiting this place. He is among us. He's here to work among us. Let's not miss this glorious opportunity to receive something from the Lord. I beg of you. I beg of you. Say, I don't know what to do. I tell you, if you can't do nothing else, just step out in the aisle. Just don't stay where you are. Just at least don't stay where you are. Just make some kind of a move. It won't hurt to do that. It won't hurt to do that. Make some kind of a move. I'm not telling you to run or shout. At least worship, though. Raise your hands and just thank Him for what He's done in your life. He'll inhabit that praise. He's doing it right now. There's somebody that'll get healed, no doubt. Somebody'll get delivered. Sinners can be saved in an atmosphere like this. Sinners can be saved. Believers can be filled. Somebody can get sanctified. Somebody can get sanctified. The King is in the midst. The King is in the midst.